All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time to gather together. We thank you for allowing us to celebrate again another year of our independence in this nation. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the direction that it's headed in, that you would turn it around, do whatever you have to, whatever is necessary, Lord, to make us to get back to the principles that our country was founded upon. We thank you for this opportunity as the freedom of so many people out there are sacrificing for, to allow us to study your word today in a manner that few in the world get to do. Lord, help us to appreciate it and to apply it in our daily lives. We pray for all of our sick ones. We lift each and every one of them up. You know their situations, Lord, better than we do. Thank you for listening to us. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turning your Bibles to, a lot of people have called me and wanting to know about when are we going to get into Revelation. I said, well, Revelation is part of our study. A part of Revelation is part of our study today. What I want to talk about is get back to our subject of what will be the millennial kingdom be like. Now, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures in the Bible. If I did, like I told you, we could spend literally 4, 5, 6 months just on the scriptures that are in the Bible telling us what the millennial kingdom is like. I'm going to hit some of the high points of scripture that tell us what it's really going to be like. In the millennial reign, Christians will be ruling and reigning over this earth. Christ will be the ruler of all the earth. He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll be ruling from Jerusalem. That's not the new Jerusalem. We'll get into that in a minute. But from Jerusalem, you know where it is. Everybody in the world does. And that's where he will be ruling from. But what's going to be going on during that 1,000 years? We as Christians will be ruling in whatever capacity that you have worked for him during your lifetime. That's basically it. You'll be given a position in this kingdom according to your works. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has a lot to say about the millennium and what it's going to be like. Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. You know these verses, some of these verses you know well. They're quoted often. But I want you to realize that when they're quoted, they're talking about the millennial reign of Christ and what the earth is going to be like. Isaiah chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now God gives him a vision of this. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Notice the time frame. It's the last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. It won't be New York City. It won't be the United Nations. It's going to be Jerusalem, with Jesus ruling there. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. This is going to be the desire of the nations if they want into blessings. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The dictates to the nation of the world are going to be coming from Jerusalem and from Jesus Christ. It won't be coming from the United Nations or anybody else in the world or anywhere else in the world. He's going to be the sole main ruler. Verse 4. These are very famous verses. In fact, part of this is in the park where the United Nations building is in New York City. Just a part of it. The part that they be sure to leave out is the Lord's rulership. All right? He shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. This is the part that's at the United Nations, but it doesn't mention Christ. Their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, during this millennial reign, God is not going to allow wars between nations. He's just not going to allow it. It's going to be a peaceable time. You're not going to be manufacturing weapons of war. He's just not going to allow it because it's not going to happen. Now, like I say, part of this is there. not all of it, the part that he'll judge among the nations. They left that out conveniently because his rulership they do not recognize. But this is what the United Nations is hoping to accomplish through their humanistic efforts. And it hasn't happened. It won't happen because men are trying to guide things. Without God, you don't get it done properly. Any questions? Okay, turn over to chapter 11. Still in Isaiah. Chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. Again, like I say, Isaiah, if you really want to know about the millennial kingdom, what it's really going to be like, Isaiah has massive amounts of information. The wolf, you're very familiar with this scripture. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The animosity between the animal kingdom, each other in the animal kingdom, and the other animosity between man and animal will be done away with. There's going to be peace in the animal kingdom. A cow and bear shall feed their young ones and lie down together. The lion shall eat straw with the ox, like an ox. The carnivorous institution after the flood will be done away with. You'll be a vegetarian if you're on the earth. There will be no more carnivorous eating according to this. The suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp. We all know that's a poison snake. They can go out in the yard and play with them. Won't hurt them. The weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. That's an adder's den. That's another poison snake. So you can play with poisonous snakes. You don't have to kill them. If you're scared of snakes, I have a neighbor that any snake that moves on his property, if he can find it, it's dead. I don't bother snakes. Leave them alone. They're part of God's creation. I know a lot of people feel different. That's everybody's opinion. I leave them alone. I just put them back in the woods. Let them do whatever they want to do. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole environment's going to change on this earth. The whole attitude of nature and man will change on this earth for the most part. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Again, the Gentiles are going to be paying homage to Christ in Jerusalem. His banner shall flow throughout the world. And the whole attitude of man is going to be subject unto Christ at this time, not anybody else. Psalm 2 says that he will rule the earth with a rod of iron, and he'll dash the nations with like a potter's vessel with a rod of iron if you get out of line. Will there be some people that will rebel? Probably so. I'll show you a scripture here in a few minutes. But there probably will be some that will rebel. It'll be a short, quick one, I can assure you, because he's not going to tolerate any kind of rebellion against his rule on this whole earth. He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. Turn to Isaiah 65. By the way, Isaiah is not the only one. It's like I told you, there are many, many verses of Scripture with many of the prophets about the millennial reign of Christ. And this is in the Old Testament. There's a group of people today that teach that all of the Old Testament has been fulfilled. They tell their people that. Their preachers preach it. Their teachers teach it. That is not true. The largest majority of the prophecies of the Old Testament have not been completed. Isaiah 65, look at verse 20. I'm going to read verse 20 through 25. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. In other words, what this is saying, I'll read the whole verse 20 and then explain it to you. Nor an old man that hath not filled his years. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Basically, what this verse here is saying, that a child won't even mature into maturity until they're 100 years old. So, ladies, be thankful that you don't have babies during the millennial reign. Diaper change will last 100 years. Okay? Think about that. This is what it's saying. A child won't even mature until they're 100 years of age. And it says here, the old men, they're going to fulfill their days out. They're going to be old. It says here, when a child shall die at 100 years old. There's been a lot of controversy about what does that mean. It could mean that the child matures or dies from their child age time into maturity. Or it could be that you won't die unless you get very old and something special happens to you. There will be some death during this time. There are teachers that teach that there won't be any death. I do not believe that. I believe there will be some. It will be limited, and certain circumstances will dictate what that is. And only God ruling will determine that. I'm sure there'll be some people that'll try to rebel, and he won't allow that. There'll be instantaneous extinction right then. Verse 21, they shall build houses and inherit them and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. The people are going to be prosperous. There's going to be work. A lot of people think during the millennium you're just going to lay down and do nothing, sit in a rocking chair, and the ears of corn are going to float to your plate. It's not going to happen. Men are going to be working. There's going to be human people powered by the blood on this earth. There's going to be births. There's going to be families. And there's going to be work going on in this world for that thousand-year reign of Christ. They shall not build in another inhabit. In other words, all this stuff that goes on today that is injustice against people is going to stop. If you build your house, you're going to get to live in it. If you plant your garden, you're going to get to eat it. Stuff that's going on today where you do your work, somebody else gets it away from you, whatever way they do it, is going to stop. God's not going to allow it. They shall not build another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. You know how long trees live? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's the way God says my people are going to live. Hundreds of years. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. God's going to know what your needs are before you even ask Him. He said, I'm going to answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God knows everything in your life right now. But He's going to bring out material blessings abundantly during His millennial reign on this earth. Whatever you need, He'll see to it that you have it. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. Now that's interesting. He's going to bless all of nature except the snake. The snake is still going to be the symbol of the downfall of man, Satan. And the snake is still going to crawl on its belly. And is still going to eat the dust of the earth as a reminder to what happened back in the book of Genesis. Man will always be able to see that cherry. I don't think so, because you've got to realize that each one of us is born whenever God wants us to be born. And then when you're in that time frame and you've got your position in the kingdom, in the millennial kingdom, according to your works, you're going to be happy with that. I mean, you're going to be ruling over the earthly people on this earth, the flesh and blood people. That's going to be your position, is ruling over them. Okay? So I think you'll have a position that they would envy, not you envying them. Okay? Linda? The holy mountain. Christ is going to rule from His holy mountain in Jerusalem. Yeah, that's from His rulership there. Now that means basically the whole earth. Yeah, His whole rulership. He's ruling from the mountain in Jerusalem, but the whole rulership. Let me give you an example of what's happening. Take a look at our country. The ruler of the country, wherever it is, sets the precedence for the nation. Okay? You look at what's happening in our country today and what our rulership is doing. I don't care if they listen to me and hear me right now. I hope they do. Our rulership is deteriorating in moral values. And therefore, this whole country from the top layer down is deteriorating in this country. Okay? Now, when Christ rules the earth and from Jerusalem, and His rulership is going to affect and embroil the whole earth. That's His holy mountain, basically, from His rulership. That answer your question, Linda? Okay.
Will there be money, like exchange of dollars?
It doesn't say that, but there will be. Let me put it this way. There will be commerce. I don't know what type or form it will have, but there will be commerce. I mean, this is a people that have got to live. There will be some type of an economic commerce. I don't know what it'll be. The Bible doesn't describe it. It does say it'll be fair. Because He just says right now, if you build something, you're going to inhabit it. If you work for something and you plant, you're going to get to eat it. Somebody else is not going to take it away from you. All right? So whatever the economic system is on this earth during the millennial reign, it will be a fair system. Okay? It's okay. Yes. Yes. The Christians that have been raptured will come back. Again, you're going to receive your rewards based on your works, and you'll be ruling over whatever God sets you over according to your works. Okay? And we'll all be different. We are different right now. So we're all going to inherit some different type of rulership over the earth. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah. Where? Who did I miss? There will be some death. We don't know. Huh? The child. Again, that could mean several things. It could mean that the child is not a child and is at a mature age at 100 years old. It could be symbolism of a child no longer being a child. I'm not saying that is the only thing that it means, but it could mean that. Okay? Some are halfway there. All right. Exactly right. Anybody else? Well, what about a person that's lived all their life not being a Christian and then make a deathbed confession? What about them? What kind of rule? We can't get into that kind of thinking. I'll just be honest with you. If you try to think like that and you try to analyze those type of situations, you will totally frustrate yourself because only God can judge those situations. If you make a deathbed confession, I've seen them, how God's going to judge them for rewards, I can't say. I'm not God. I don't know. I don't know His whole life. You can't do that. If you start trying to get into that, then all you're going to do is frustrate yourself. Here's what I tell people. If you're studying the Bible, take the Bible, what it says, the information that it gives you, and you can stand on that solid. But if you get beyond that and start speculating, it's all speculation. And everybody can have their own idea. And all it's going to do is frustrate you. Okay? So don't try to do it. It frustrates you and it will hurt your spiritual growth. I know. I've tried it. So I'm speaking from experience. Don't do it. Take whatever the Bible says. Stand on it. Stand firm on it. You know what it says. You know where it's going. But as far as speculating, just like we can sit here and speculate all day long about all the minor details of the millennial kingdom, it's worthless because we don't know. It's just something we conjure up in our minds. So don't do it. It'll frustrate you. OK? Okay? God, be sure of this. The judge who's going to do the judging is going to do it right. There's going to be no mistakes from him. Okay? That's what I put in my consolation. All right? Anybody? Okay. It says here, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. That's what the millennial reign is going to be like. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I'm going to start at verse 22, and I'm going to read through 26. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. He's talking about Israel now, what he's going to do with the nation of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. God says, when I do this, I'm going to put the nation of Israel back together, and they will never be separated ever again. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Now the world does not like this verse, because, again, it sets up Israel as the leading nation of the world. Look at verse 24. David, my servant, shall be king over them. Hey, wait a minute. I thought Christ was going to be the king. He is. But he's also going to resurrect David. And there's several verses I've told you in Scriptures, one in Jeremiah, that David will be resurrected and be set up as their earthly king over them. Christ will rule over David. They shall have one shepherd. They also shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. Again, they have never dwelt in their whole land that God promised them. Wherein your fathers have dwelt, they shall dwell therein, even they, their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. He's talking about particularly the nation of Israel. People that hate Israel and hate the Jews hate God and His program. I'm going to just put it plainly. And I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them evermore. Now, this is what the nation of Israel is going to be doing. Turn to the book of Revelation. Okay.
If he made this covenant that lasts forever, then Satan can't bother them?
No, we don't know how the nations, as far as who Satan deceives, but he won't be deceiving the nation of Israel, but he will deceive others. And there will be a nation of Israel on the new heaven and the new earth. In 2 Peter 3.10, you don't have to turn there right now, but in 2 Peter 3.10, it talks about the earth being dissolved in fire. And the most scholars believe that this is not a destruction of the earth as a planet, okay, like you see in the science fiction movies, but it is a complete revamping of the earth by fire to purify it, burn off all the wrong, evil, and so forth and so on. And then a revamping of this earth ball. This is what the better scholars believe, and I agree with that. So that's going to happen at the end of the millennial reign. This earth is going to be basically destroyed. Now, turn to Revelation. Everybody's wanting to get to Revelation. Chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. Now, after this earth is revamped, destroyed by fire, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is a different Jerusalem what's over there now. The New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. in great beauty and apparel. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now this new Jerusalem comes down. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. That's when death is abolished totally. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Whatever you have had in your past that has bothered you, that hurts you, that you carry with you today, pain, suffering, whatever, it will be totally done away with in this new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now that will be the new heaven, the new earth, and the new rulership of God. Look at verse 22. Another description. I'm by no means, if you want to read all the details of the New Jerusalem, where you'll be ruling and reigning from as Christians, God's people, read all of chapter 21, 22. I'm not going to read all of it for time's sake. Look at, yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, but I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
What I just asked you was.
Okay. On the earth.
Doesn't that take place over there in Israel, though?
Yeah, but it takes place before Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation period. That's long gone.
I'm trying to think of where that battle's
going to be. It's going to be in the valley of Jehoshaphat. It said the blood will be horse bridle high and run for 200 miles. Yes, but that takes place. That takes place at the end of the millennial reign, when they. That's with Israel. During the millennial reign, yeah.
Right. But if this battle is going to take place in Israel, is they going to be there? That covenant's not going to bother them.
Well, that battle. Let me tell you, the battle. That you're talking of the battle in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is described in Revelation, where it says the blood is horse bridle high. That takes place at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. I'm sorry, I think I said the end of millennial reign. I was wrong. That's at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. That's when Israel is being received of the worst tribulation from Satan during the tribulation period of the Antichrist. That's when that takes place. Then you got the millennial reign, which is 1,000 years after that. Okay? That get you squared away, timetable-wise. These timetables of events and things are confusing. There is a chart made by Dr. Clarence Larkin. You can order this off of the Internet. There's a chart. He was an architect. He lived. He died around 1940s. One of the greatest Bible teachers of prophecy that I've ever run into in my entire life. But he was an architect, and he drew a chart, a timeline chart of all of these events. And you can order it off the Internet if you want to get it. Just look under Charles Larkin, and they have all of his books. They're still printing them. In fact, they're in such demand that they still print his books as he's been dead for 70 years. But he is the greatest author of prophecy of modern day that I'm aware of. And he's got a chart, and it shows every event in its categorical line of events. That may help you get that. Anybody else that's looking for that? That's just a written. That's just written. But that's close to it. Yeah, that's close to it. But if you really want to look at a chart, if you're a person that likes charts and drawings, you get that chart from Clarence Larkin's website. I highly advise it. It's really, really good. Any other questions before I go on? Okay, look at verse 22. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Christ is going to be the light of the New Jerusalem. The nations of them which are saved. Now, even though this earth is going to be destroyed, and we don't know how, God doesn't tell us. Everybody speculates again. Don't speculate. I don't know about spaceships or anything else, how it'll do it. But there will be people who will be saved off of this earth before God destroys it and revamps it. We don't know how, but He's going to accomplish it, however He wants to. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations in it. So there are going to be nations on this new earth. There's going to be nations again. And again, Israel will be the leading nation of that new earth. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, it's horrible things, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll have the privilege of living in the New Jerusalem. Now, chapter 22 goes on and describes many details about the New Jerusalem. So if you want to know about them, get into chapter 22 and read it. I'll let y'all do that homework for yourself. Anybody have any questions? All right. Now, we have studied future events. Did I miss somebody? Yeah, Jack. Well, he said God told him, the reason he wouldn't let him build the temple, he told David, he said, you have shed much blood on the earth, so I'm not going to allow you to build the temple. Okay, you can get things ready for your son to build the temple, but I'm not going to let you build my temple. You know, what's amazing about David, just this point that Jack brings up, what's so amazing about King David is the sin that he committed. I mean, he committed murder. He killed thousands of people in his lifetime. He was a warrior. And other things that he did to the nation of Israel that were wrong. But yet God forgave him of his sin and is still going to use him as the earthly king over Israel in the millennial reign. This is what really amazes me about that guy. I mean, if you study his life, if you really get down... If Hollywood really wanted to make an interesting movie, which I don't think they do, but if they really wanted to, they need to make a life of the details of King David. Most people have no idea what this man really did in his life. But yet he loved God. God said he's a man after my own heart. Forgave him. And they even told him later on in the history of the world, I'm going to raise you up to be the earthly king of Israel again. To me, it's fantastic. It shows the absolute grace of God. If any individual in the Bible shows the grace of God, King David shows it to the ultimate, as far as I'm concerned. Jack, did I answer your question? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Now, that's predestination, and that gets into a big cat fight right there. That's right. And God said, I knew you before you were in the womb. Yeah. God had a plan for him. Again, God is so great, so powerful, so all-knowing. We can't even begin to even fathom God and His ways, you know. There's the secret ways of God that He doesn't share with men. I don't think we could handle them. The more I study, the more I'm amazed that I am at Him and His program. And I don't even begin to question His ways because, or His reasons. That's one of the big things. Too many people want to question God's reasoning on a human level. You got to forget it. You won't ever do it. You can't fathom Him. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to break for a little study. I'm going to give you a hint. I'll let you see if you can find out who it is. Any of you ever made a bad decision? Anybody here will raise your hand and tell me you never made a bad decision? I don't think anybody could raise your hand, okay? What are the consequences of making a bad decision? Hey, I've made a few of them. I learned a long time ago before I make a major decision to go sit Bonnie down. And her little country simple mind, she has kept me from making some big ones. So I always consult her country wisdom before I make a decision. But this man in the Old Testament didn't consult God on an issue, and he made a bad decision. But out of that bad decision came one of the most remarkable miracles ever recorded in the Bible. I'll let y'all see if you can figure that out. That's what we're going to study next Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer. Yes, Sherry. Yeah, it should, yeah. When I look at King David's life and I look at my life, every time I study the Bible, I study the Bible in this way. What God is saying, how does my life fit what He has just said? And I get clobbered every time I open the Bible. So then I look at King David and say, hey, yeah, Lord, but look what you did with that guy. And look, I haven't murdered anybody yet, you know. But anyway, that's really not the right way to look at it. But the right way to look at it is He has mercy on all of us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for this study of Your coming events, letting us know what really is coming. When we see a world turned upside down in total chaos, we know, Lord, what Your Word says about these things. Thank You for letting us study it, understanding it, and putting our faith and trust, Lord, in You and everything that is around us, everything that is happening, and everything for the future. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and call me if you need me.